again. I'm Drew Wilder. It's all about business. It's your business, whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman. Every week at this time, we're with Stan Sadlak. He's president of Steeplechase Advisors for accounting and financial advising, executive coaching for businesses, and helping the people in the businesses for five decades. And how are you today, Stan?
I'm doing great, Drew.
Now, you're an independently owned and operated business advising companies become more solvent, raising the profit margin. And our show explores all kinds of problems that you deal with in helping businesses, taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, and even the big one, as you say, personnel problems. And you can always get in touch with Stan, 860-524-3408. That's 860-524-3408. And at the end of the program, we're going to tell you how you can get a no-fee initial consultation. But we'll tell you that upon the exit of the show when we go through that exit sign. Stan, interestingly enough, now we have the fact that you're independently owned and operated. Is that unusual today? And is that so important?
You know, I really think it depends on, you know, what you feel about marching to the beat of your own drummer. It's challenging these days. If you take a look at the benefits that companies pay and the opportunities that it prevents for you, provides for you over the years, especially with retirement, it's easy to just stay in that routine. But I've always been a very independent person. And I just can't really work for anybody. So I have a lot of bosses now. So I actually have more bosses than I ever had working for somebody because, you know, when you work with a 250, 300 clients over the years, you have a lot of bosses.
Yeah.
So the challenge we find today, Drew, is we're going to test you.
Okay.
We're going to see what your business knowledge is.
Okay.
On a few questions. Okay. Kind of break it up a little.
Okay. Do I get a buzzer, like at the end of each question?
Absolutely.
If I get it wrong? Okay.
I'm going to ask you three questions today.
Okay.
And the purpose I do this is, for many years, I would read biographies about companies, mm-hmm. founders. And you just do that in an effort to understand how did they think? Why did they do what they did? Why did they succeed? And so let me ask you the first question. And that is, who invented the frozen food?
Stouffer's.
No.
Nope.
Oh. You only get one chance.
Only one guess.
Clarence Birdseye.
Okay, Birdseye. Okay.
Yes. Okay. Now, Colonel Sanders was the founder of which food chain? I'm going to give you an easy one.
Kentucky Fried Chicken.
But why was his chicken so unique, so different?
And I know they changed the name because fried foods was not in anymore, KFC, but why... What set them apart? I would say convenience of drive-throughs in multiple locations.
You know, a good try. It was because he cooked his chicken in a pressure cooker, and he could do it quickly, efficiently, and it'd be thoroughly cooked.
And that's how McDonald's became famous, right? They were able to get like a machine assembly line to get the burgers out fast.
That's correct.
Okay, so I'm 0-2.
Okay.
At least I'm consistent.
Final question.
Okay.
Final question. Maxwell House Coffee was named after A, hotel, B, a farm, or C, a brewery?
I would say, what was the first?
The choices, once again.
Yep.
A hotel. B, a farm, or C, a brewery?
A farm.
Wrong. 0-3.
Hotel.
Sorry, Drew. It was named after the Maxwell House Hotel in Nashville, Tennessee.
Interesting.
And the hotel was their first customer.
Huh.
So.
Wow. I should have watched because we were talking before the show about a great series that I watched, which was on, I believe, it was History Channel called The Foods That Built America. Of course, they didn't do one on Maxwell, and they didn't do one on Birdseye, but great, great series showing kind of like a little bit of what we're talking about is the genius. I mean, I'm just impressed. These people like were so far ahead of their times, out of the box, a step ahead, and created empires. So today we're talking a little bit about communications, and I guess it's all about communications. But so you've been in business 50 years. Have you changed, do you think, the direction of form of communications in your business, or is it pretty much the same? People buzz you down the hallway or go down the hallway or whatever. I mean, has that changed?
You're going to love this answer. Yes and no.
Both.
It's because 50 years ago, we didn't have fax machines. We didn't have, I mean, we had copiers, which were really old, and we didn't have the internet. So communication was very different. So in accounting, you know, if a bank says to a client, says, listen, we need a financial statement, you know, you'd go out to the client, you'd get the information, come back, you'd compile it, send it out to them to review. They would review it, you know, get it back to you. Then you'd do the final compilation, and that would go to the bank. So maybe take 2 weeks, three weeks to put it together. Today, client will call up and say, I need a financial statement. Okay, email me the form. Okay, we do a preliminary compilation and email it back to the client. And, of course, everything comes right from QuickBooks, so it's, for the most part, right there, or Peachtree Accounting Systems or similar, and it's all integrated with the tax software. So, you know, we email it back. The client reviews it, emails it back, says yes, no, maybe, and I email it directly to the bank. So what used to take two weeks now takes maybe 5 hours.
So what kind of challenges does that present, that everything's happening so fast, especially with labor issues that we've talked about, for people handling that kind of volume so quickly?
Well, you know, for businesses, they've got to have somebody who does the bookkeeping to some extent and filing all the forms. I think the other big part is that there's just so much regulation today and form filing that it really is time consuming. And it's so difficult for the small businessman, 1, 2, 3 person operation, to be able to comply with everything. So if you are a small business and we know you've got to put together these this financial information, you really need to either hire a part-time bookkeeper or you need to outsource it to somebody to do. But it's easier today for the bookkeeping because we have products such as QuickBooks where you can crank it out very, very quickly. So when we talk about how long does it take, You've got to be on top of the situation in terms of having your information up to date. Now, that's the biggest challenge I face, is that it's not up to date. You know, for certain people, the 5-hour process occurs very quickly. But predominantly for most small businesses, you're still looking at 3-4 days, but the bankers get impatient. Banking today is also very different. That's also a key ingredient to people succeeding today, is trying to find a good bank. Very hard to do. You know, the old story that a banker is somebody that gives you an umbrella when you go to the bank to do your deposits, and then when it rains, they ask for the umbrella back. I've seen that so many times over the years. And you know, when a bank got back in the 80s, was taken over by the FDIC, it destroyed many people. I mean, literally, people would commit suicide. It was so bad.
Really?
So, you know, you got to have a good banker. And that's a challenging period in today's world, because most loan decisions are based on, you know, algorithms.
Right.
You don't even, you know, there's no character lending anymore.
It's just automatic,
based
on whatever information has been out there.
Right.
So
I remember the days, and I'll go back. We're going back to the 70s. So I would call up my banker and say, hey, I need $25,000 for a 90-day note. I'm buying a piece of property. And he would respond to me, okay, well, I'll put it into your account this afternoon. Just come by in the next week and sign the papers.
You wouldn't have that today.
No, not even close.
Now, do you help businesses with going through the banking process or getting a loan?
Absolutely.
So you do. So that's a huge resource. I mean, I've had to go to a bank to try to get money to borrow to buy a radio station.
If you're in Hartford and you want to borrow money for real estate, you got to go to California or Pennsylvania.
So it's not local.
No. If you want to go, and if you're in California, you want to borrow money for commercial real estate, you probably got to go to New England to the insurance companies. But very, very difficult to. In Hartford, for a commercial or a residential type of development, to get a local bank to loan money. Very, very
So how do you help with that? I mean, what do you do that they can't do?
You have to do research. You have to find out who is lending. You have to work with mortgage brokers from out of state who really are tapped into this type of business. I mean, you know, for example, I have a 40,000 square foot office building, and I needed to refinance the building. So I could not get a mortgage around here. I had to go to Seattle, Washington to get a bridge loan and then ended up with a bank in Philadelphia with a permanent 30-year mortgage.
Wow. And do they know the market? I mean, someone in Hartford knows Hartford and Connecticut. Does someone in Seattle have any idea about what Hartford's all about?
I'm pleading the fifth on that one.
Yeah, I know, right? The sensor just went off. That's interesting. So, but you actually, that's a huge resource. I mean, you're going to get flooded with phone calls. And you can get in touch with Stan at 860-524-3408. Ask Stan for a loan. He'll get you a loan. No, I'm just, but you can help businesses through the process.
I mean, I wish I could. I mean, I can show you the right avenues to go down, the right people to talk to. I mean, there are institutions around here who are amenable. But, you know, for the most part, small loans, you know, $2 million or less, they're not, the big boys are not interested in them. So you got to go to, you know, today's groups will be certain banks, certain credit unions. The credit unions are new on the market, and I would keep a good eye on the credit unions. The credit unions, in my opinion, will become the community bankers of the future.
Credit unions.
Absolutely. We have some very good ones here.
So they're a good place to go.
I think they are. I think they are. We're still in the infancy of them moving into commercial banking, but they're definitely going in that direction, and they're community based. They've got, they really take a good look at the character, and they're you know, the people who are on their advisory boards tend to be local people. I mean, there's still some nice community banks that are expanding, but you get into the real big banks, and they're just not interested. You know, if you're looking for a $52 million loan, they want to talk to you. But if you're looking for a, you know, $350,000 loan, very difficult.
So, and I'm assuming most of the people that are listening to this show, and it's your business with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors, LLC in Hartford. And again, at the end of the show, we're going to tell you how you can get a no-fee initial consultation. But you can always get in touch with Stan at 860-524-3408. That's 860-524-3408. But I would think most people, like, I never would have thought a credit union would be a place to go for a business loan. It just wouldn't have crossed my mind. I think banks, loan companies, loan sharks.
I completely agree with you. But, you know, times change, and that's been sort of a transitioning process. So, you know, on this whole thing, Drew, we've talked over the years, is what makes a business successful? I would like to kind of revisit that for a moment. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And the reason being is that there are really three ingredients to why a business is successful. One is obviously skill. Mm-hmm. You know, people have to have a particular skill that is required. The second is timing. Mm-hmm. You know, when is the right time to engage that skill? On one of the earlier shows, you asked me, is right now a good time to go into business?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's really the million-dollar question right now, is the timing correct? We'll come back to that. Yeah. And the third aspect, of course, is luck.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you take a look at when I discussed earlier Colonel Sanders, he failed. I mean, he had so many failures. It was awful. And he got his pocket picked a few times with other people trying to reproduce what he had. That when he did become famous, it was after so many failures and struggles that it would just reach he had luck. That's all boiled down to. And there's so many other very successful entrepreneurs who had so many failures before they had any successes. So we categorize that as perseverance.
I was just going to say, so that's a key ingredient. that you need. I think you need that in life with anything.
Well, I think perseverance creates your own luck.
Right.
If you don't, you know, if you fail at something and walk away, that's it.
Right.
Okay. But if you persevere, it's interesting how suddenly at some point somewhere you succeed.
And they say, what, 75, 80% of businesses fail? So the ones with perseverance and...
Within the first 5 years, yes.
Within the first five years. So that's interesting. I mean, what do you think? I mean, rates are now going up. Does that mean now is a bad time to go into business?
No, I mean, when I started out, interest rates went from normal to 19%. That was the prime rate, 19%. My first mortgage on my house was 14%. Hmm. And, I was so young, I was too dumb to know any better. Right. So to me, you know, 10% was cheap money. So then when it went down to 7%, oh, my gosh. Yeah, but was interesting, when it did go up to 19%, I think it was not that hard to get a loan. People said it was so hard. Mm. But I don't think it was any more difficult than other times. It was just expensive money.
Hmm.
So it became very interesting that, you know, as the rates decreased over time, business did start to pick up. But there were so many other problems going on with inflation mm-hmm. at that time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're back in the same point today. We're going to go through the exact same period as we did under Jimmy Carter. Mm-hmm. What's happening today is that mm-hmm. interest rates will go up. They will continue to go up for quite a while because that's the only way to deal with this inflation.
Right.
And I think what everyone should be concerned about is not inflation, not stagflation, but the potential for deflation.
Right.
Because everybody over the last few years refinanced their mortgages or they bought bigger houses, and now they may have a variable interest rate. And what is occurring is that the value of the house is decreasing. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
We're watching that right now. But that would be a concern. Is money available out there for a small business? It is, but you might have to go to New York to get it. And, uh-huh. you know, there are many lenders out of New York that have really, like, for example, American Express has stepped into small business lending. And I find it easier for a business to get a loan out of New York than around here.
That's
I can do it in
so
24
incredible.
Hours. You can get a loan in 24 hours. That is very good rates. Whereas you go here and you go through the process of submitting the application, submitting all the tax mm-hmm. returns and going through that. And it just takes forever. It's very difficult for the small business guy. And people, you know, their receivables are down. Mm-hmm. What's happening is that with this inflation, people are slower to pay their bills. I have doctors who aren't collecting any revenue whatsoever in their practices. You know, the insurance companies are slow to pay. Customers are slow to pay. One client, they haven't gotten paid by the insurance company in 90 days.
Wow. So they've got to have enough reserves to stay afloat,
right?
To carry over for 90.
So that's a disturbing part today of what, you know, how do we deal with these challenges to get over the hurdles?
So is that most of what, if you had to break out like the areas that you help with at Steeplechase Advisors in Hartford, I mean, is that one of the top things that you help with financing and loans and staying afloat when rates are going up like they are?
Well, you know, that usually becomes a consequence of our discussions. Most clients are so busy working, they're so short-handed that they don't have time to think about these issues. Many times I'll look at it and I will say to a client, you need a line of credit, you know, to help you through the ups and downs. And they just look at me with a blank stare, not quite sure what to do. I grew up in a different era when you would use lines of credit mm-hmm. that you would, you know, pay down or mm-hmm. draw down. Today, these generations haven't really experienced lines of credit. They're used to getting a term loan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It might be a 5, 10, 20-year loan, but they're not used to working with lines of credit and having to repay them a certain amount by a certain deadline. So part of my job is to, okay, how do we set this up? Mm-hmm. How do we do it? Where might you go to get that? The other aspect with the – spent a lot of time talking about working with the personnel. I mean, we have talked previously about communication, about people problems. I would say the number one problem today is communication with the employees.
Now, how do you help with that? If someone doesn't communicate, how can you get them to communicate better?
Well, you got to start from what I say, the top down. So the business owner or manager has to look at his key people that help him on a day-to-day basis. And he has to look at how often does he talk to them? Does he have a team meeting every morning? You know, when a restaurant opens up, say, for the night shift, they always have a team meeting before they go out. When they do a Broadway show, they always have a meeting before they take the stage for that night. Well, it's the same thing with your business. How often do you sit down with your key people?
And you,
that's one.
And it should be every day?
It depends on the business.
Okay.
Depends on what the manufacturing business, it's very different than a hands-on, high-level customer service business. Then secondly, you have to take a look at your staff and how are they performing. So if I'm busy, they're having to run a machine, I'm not going to have time to think about all this. Right. So I have to work with my key staff. And then we have to make sure that that key staff is interacting with the people under them. How are they communicating? How are they being trained? Lots of times people aren't really training their underlings very, very well. What we also have to be very careful of, and I notice frequently, is the manager has to work through the priority of the personnel. So, for example, the manager or the business owner can't go out there and be friends with the people on the floor. You know, they have to work through the manager. They can't be correcting the manager or undercutting the manager of that area. You know, I had one client who would, you know, take a break and go out and shoot BB guns in the backyards with the people who work in his shop. And he's defeating the whole purpose. Nice guy, runs it, has a nice business, but he wants to be friends with the people that are working for him. Right. You can't do that.
So that's a no-no.
That's a no-no. Yeah. So you try to work through, you know, the lines of authority as best that you can. And then you need to figure out when it makes sense to have a full team meeting. When do you get everybody together? Maybe you bring in at lunchtime. Everybody who's on that lunch break, bring in lunch for them that day, and let's have a team meeting. It doesn't have to be a big deal, but you know, there's a give and take.
And are businesses doing this, or average business you deal with? How often do they have a meeting with their employees?
Not enough.
Not enough.
That's a real problem.
And you don't look at that. That's just taking up time that they could be on the job.
But then they complain that there's no communication in the operation.
So really it's important to have a good culture, to have the right culture, have employees that are able to intermingle well together.
It's like a team. You put together a team, and how do you get the team working together? You know, the word team is T-E-A-M, right? Together, everyone attains more.
Okay, yeah.
But if they don't act as a team, it just does not work.
Yeah, it's like sports.
That's right.
I think it was the Brooklyn Nets. I believe I have the right team. I'm not that into it, but I think the Brooklyn Nets had all these superstars, and they had a bad season because they didn't work well as a team. I think they were the team I'm thinking of. But so working as a team, but how do you know that when you're hiring people? You can tell one person at a time while you're interviewing them, but how can you tell if they're going to be able to get along well and motivate other people within the business?
You can't.
So you can't. So that's just trial and
error. I would like to tell you that, sure, it's easy, but you can interview somebody, you can, by process of elimination, eliminate people and then say, okay, I think I can, this guy fits in or this woman fits into the operation. But you're not going to know for 90 days to 180 days,
wow,
unfortunately, because there's certain tests that you might use along the way. Does the person need to be micromanaged? Does the person take the initiative? Is the person a threat to the organization? You know, some people come in and they're poison pills.
Oh, yeah. I've had that happen in places I've been in management, or not in management too. But, yeah. So do you help with you will help like a business with the hiring process? Is that an area you would get into?
You know, I in that case, I'm more of a sounding board, but I will do an interview with the people if necessary. You know, where I like to fit in is after they make the decision of who they want to hire, I'd like to watch them and evaluate. And I've had people, especially financial people, who really have no clue what they're doing.
Wow.
They come in and they say, well, I did this type of bookkeeping. I know how to operate QuickBooks. But, you know, they don't even understand debits or credits.
Wow.
Scary, yeah.
It is very scary.
Yeah.
So you get the typical small businessman who really has no accounting background. So he relies on this person to come in and assist him. And they don't know what they're doing. And I have had numerous times over the years where I tell the business owner, look, you got to get rid of this person.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing more damage to you than you realize. And they refuse to deal with it.
Because they don't have a backup? Probably because they don't have a backup.
They don't have a backbone.
Backbone, you know? Right. That's very good. They have a backup, but not a backbone.
You know, we're not here to play tiddlywinks. We're here to run a business and make some money.
Right.
And, how do they bring home the bacon? How do you know? How many times do you see a situation where a bill comes in the mail to you and you know it's wrong?
Mm. Right.
You know, you've been taken advantage
exactly.
of.
Exactly, yep.
And maybe. I just had one this morning where a fellow had the HVAC work done on his house, and they didn't have a part, so they had to go back and search for a part. So the whole time he's searching for the part, he's still on the clock.
Ah, I figured
So what was a normal cleaning and should have run a few $100 came out to be $1,000.
Wow. So you gotta watch your bills. Wow.
But the owner didn't even know about it.
Well, that's even scarier. Stan Sadlak, Steeplechase Advisors, and Stan can help your business. Taxes, insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession. As we're saying about personnel problems, teamwork, working better as a team, and getting more out of your business for a better profit margin. And you can always get in touch with Stan, 860-524-3408. That's 860-524-3408. And Stan's going to give the first three callers a no-fee initial consultation. Give Stan a call, 860-524-3408. Stan, thanks so much. Very, very insightful and interesting, and we'll speak to you next week at this time.
Thank you.
And it's your business. I'm Drew Wilder. Thanks so much for listening, and we will speak to you at the same time next week at this time. Thanks for listening.